From the Thinking Out Loud studios, it's the Thinking Out Loud podcast with Kevin and Kyle, the podcast that exists to help you navigate the culture of today from a biblical perspective
and to help you grow in your relationship with God.
God has commissioned and called you to be a light in this culture. The only way you can do that is to know the truth.
No matter what circumstance you're facing, no matter what season of life that you're in, if you truly want to find success in that season,
you're going to have to go back to the simple question of, what does God say about me in this moment?
There's no shortage of information in this culture, but there is a shortage of truth.
Welcome back to the Thinking Out Loud podcast. My name is Kevin Wilson, and I am happy to be back with you guys for another week of the show. And remember, you can jump right into this conversation and into any conversation that we've had here on the podcast. We're over 80 episodes now. I don't know. We might be, 85 episodes, somewhere around there. So lots of content for you to go back and listen. If you haven't listened to some of the older content, I know that we have some new listeners to the show. And so if you've got some time, or as you're doing your workout or driving to work or driving home from work, or you're on a run, whatever the case may be, we've got a ton of content out there on all kinds of different subjects. And so I think you will find all of it very helpful, very biblical, and very honest. And so you can jump into the conversation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 248-301-2010. You can text that number if you've got show topic suggestions, if you've got questions that you want us to cover on the show, topics you want us to cover, any feedback that you have on our shows, please feel free. It's anonymous. When you text that line, I have no idea who you are. And so you can text there and feel free, whether you agree with something, disagree with something, have questions, whatever it is that you want to do there, save that number in your phone as TOL or Thinking Out Loud. It's 248-301-2010. And of course, rate and review us. That helps us out a great, great deal. So if you're listening to us on Apple, let's see, what else is out there? Google Podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon, Podchaser, Stitcher, all the places, right? And there's other places that we are as well. But those are some of the most common places that people listen to our show. I know Apple Podcasts is number one. As we look at the numbers, tons of people listening to us on an Apple device. And you can definitely go, if you scroll down past our episodes, you go to the bottom there. If you're on Apple or Spotify or any of these places, you go there, you can rate us 5 stars. You can leave a review. Not only does that encourage us to keep going, but that also encourages other people who are looking for great podcasts like this, right? And listen, you might say, hey, Kev, I don't always agree with you, you know? That's okay. I listen to a ridiculous amount of podcasts, and there are some that I don't agree with everything. And I think it's kind of hard for you to agree with everybody on everything all the time, right? But it doesn't mean it's not a good podcast. And so, you know, give us that 5-star rating. Also, make sure you're following or subscribing to our podcast on these platforms so you don't miss out on anything that we've got coming up. And you can also go out to the Thinking Out Loud website. Now, listen, the website right now, I'm working with the company who runs our website. There was a new update to the website, and for some reason, it caused the website to go wacky. But there are things on there that are still functioning normal, okay? So if you go to thinkingoutloudmedia.com, thinkingoutloudmedia.com, if you scroll down to that and that homepage towards the bottom, you will see a donate button. That will take you straight to PayPal. And PayPal, of course, is secure. Our website is secure. If you want to donate to the show, you want to be a monthly donor, or you want to be a one-time donor, or just give when you can certainly do both of those things there. If you in any way have trouble getting through there, we can also send you our Venmo or our Cash App. Any of that stuff works. We've got Zelle, all of that stuff works. So, but listen, you know, payment that you make to us or donation is too small or too large, The reason why you are listening to this show is because there are people just like you who are giving monthly so this show can stay on the air. And so just want you to understand the 100% reason why this show is on the air is because people donate to the show. And so we want you to be a part of that as well. It really helps us out. There are more things that we want to do with the show and we want to reach more people, but that takes dollars. Nothing in life is free. So we want to reach more people. We want to do more awesome things. And so if you find it in your heart, if we've blessed you, if we have helped you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out to us and let us know whether, like I say, whether it be a comment that you make at the texting line, if you do it on a review on the platform you listen to, or you donate a portion of money to the show. All right. We appreciate that so, so very much. One announcement that I have is we are in need of someone to help book shows. All right. So we need somebody to help book guests for us. We are very busy and research for the show takes a lot of time. And so we are in need of somebody who, if you said, hey, you know what? I've always wanted to work for maybe a radio station or a podcast or, you know, be a part of a ministry that is literally being heard all over the world. You know, if you said, hey, I've always wanted to be a part of that and you've got a few hours a month that you can volunteer, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. You can reach out to us at the texting line, 248-301-2010, 248-301-2010, and we'll engage you there. And we can, you know, move to the next step to see if you are a fit. So basically what you're doing is you're going to be reaching out to people who we want on the show, people we are already in negotiations with to be on the show, and making sure you're keeping that relationship with those people, setting up the times and the dates and all of that. And, you know, something else we would love to be a part of this, if possible, if not, it's okay, is to have somebody, and this could be a totally separate person who wants to volunteer a few hours a month, is a researcher. So we, you know, research all of our own topics and it is a lot of work. And so if you are out there and you love research, you love digging in for the facts and getting the things like that, you can assist us in the content for the show. And so if that's you out there, again, contact us 248-301-2010. Leave us a message there. Text us that message there and we will get back with you and talk to you further about that opportunity. So, and I don't know if you're like me, but this is becoming, so summer's always been like my favorite time of the year, like just, you know, and we are in Michigan here. And I know some of you are in warm climates where it's like warm all the time, which is amazing. And I would love that. But I was born and raised in Michigan, still here. We actually have all four seasons. And so we are in fall right now, which I am increasingly loving more and more as I get older. Summer is great because I love hanging out, you know, doing stuff outside, rolling the windows down in my car, you know, all the things, right? Just the breeze, the summer, the sun, the water, all the things. I love it. But as I get older, I'm finding that I really, really, really love fall. You know, just the cider mill and the donuts and cider and the, yes, I am a pumpkin spice person. So, you know, all of you people out here who hate on pumpkin spice people, you know, I'm not sure what's wrong with you, but love pumpkin pie, pumpkin spice, all things pumpkin. And, you know, there's a drink that I love, not that kind of drink, by the way, but there's a drink that I love that is at Starbucks. And listen, you will thank me later. Starbucks does not sponsor this show, so they're getting a free plug here. But here's the thing. If you go to Starbucks, I want you to try this drink, okay? Because this drink is amazing, okay? I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Now, if you don't like pumpkin, forget it, right? You don't like cinnamon, forget it. You don't, look, if you're like, oh, I don't go to Starbucks. Well, okay. You got to go to Starbucks to get this, okay? So, here's what it is. And listen, if you end up going somewhere and getting this drink, I want you to text us 248-301-2010. Tell me how you liked it. Okay. Cause you probably, a lot of people listen to this show on the way to work, right? So if you're on your way to work, just take a little detour, go to Starbucks. You're probably already going there anyway. Go there and get this drink. Okay. Here's what it is. It's my favorite. It's iced chai tea latte with oat milk, and you add pumpkin cold foam and cinnamon. That's it. That's the drink. Okay. Iced chai tea latte with oat milk, add pumpkin cold foam and cinnamon. Now, listen, I understand that some people just drink regular milk, and that's totally fine. I just happen to drink oat milk. Okay. And so, and as you know, if you listen to this show anytime, if for any length of time, I have all kinds of allergies. So I'm allergic to cow's milk. No, it's not lactose intolerant. I'm actually have an allergy to cow's milk. So I drink oat milk. And so, I mean, you can, in place of that, you can put whatever. But let me tell you something. That drink is amazing. Okay. It's refreshing. It's great. It's fall. It's just perfect for this time of year. Okay. So that's my plug for that. Okay. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We are not talking about coffee and teas and Starbucks. We are talking about something much more serious. But I think this will be helpful for you today. And my goal is that it's very helpful for you. And we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. Yeah. So depending on how you were raised, okay, this could be a very controversial topic for you. You know, and it's been controversial in church circles for years. Okay. If you are a Pentecostal, you're probably like fist bumping and high fiving and saying, yeah, go, Kevin. You tell them, right? If you are a non-Pentecostal, so you might be non-denominational, you might be Baptist, you might be Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopal, all the things, right? Catholic, whatever. You might be saying, okay, I'm not sure if this is something that I really understand. Or you might say, you know what? I heard that's like bad. Or I heard that stuff is just like not what we do today. Like that stuff died out with the apostles and all, you know, all the things, right? There's just a lot of discussion back and forth about those things. Well, I want to really dig deep into this topic today. And we're going to talk about, are the gifts of the Spirit, one, are they for today? If they are for today, what does the Bible say about that? If they're not for today, what does the Bible say about that? If, you know, how have these things been abused in the church? What does that look like? And actually go through all the spiritual gifts. What are they? What are they? One by one. What is their purpose? All of that in the church, all that good stuff. We're going to talk about that today. And remember, we are family. We are the body of Christ. There are certain things that are essential to the Christian faith that we all should believe. And there are things that are non-essential, right? Essential things are like things like Jesus is the only way to heaven and to God, right? That all paths do not lead to eternal life. All paths do not lead to God or to Christ, right? You know, that is an essential doctrine, right? Now, things like, you know, whether you use the gift of the Spirit or, you know, you're operating in all the gifts of the Spirit in your church, whether you prophesy in your church or not, whether you do, you know, these are things that are non-essential, but I would say it's very vitally important for you to know what those things are and if they're for today, because how you view the gifts of the Spirit will impact your life in a very significant way. Okay. If you don't believe in them, that impacts your life in a significant way. And if you do believe in them and that they're for today, that impacts your life significantly. And so it's really important that you don't brush it over and say, well, you know, I heard about those, you know, those things and I don't know. I want you to listen with open ears today. Also, you know, a lot of us, we are products of our environment. We are products of how we were raised. And so some of us were raised in maybe a tradition or a church that said, you know, we're going to put the brakes real hard on this, the gifts of the Spirit, because we just don't believe that they're for today. Then, on the other side of the coin, you may have grown up in a family where that's all you did. That's all you talked about was the gifts of the Spirit. And you feel like because you've had an experience with the gifts of the Spirit or whatever the case, that, you know, there's no one that can tell you that they're not for today. Okay, so I realize that everyone listening, all right, because we have so many people from so many different backgrounds and countries and states and all of that stuff, we're all over the board, right? It's okay. We are still the body of Christ, okay? So we just got to lay that groundwork first so that when we get into this, we can look at this with fresh eyes, okay? And so one of the things as we get into this topic that I want you to understand, and this is going to be very important for you to understand when we get into the spiritual gifts. One of the issues that I've seen over many years in ministry is a lot of churches have an overemphasis on one particular thing or two particular things. It's usually one, though, right? And what you have to understand is if you belong to a church and there is an emphasis on one main thing other than Jesus, okay, your church can be very unbalanced. And in a lot of ways can become unhealthy because there's just an imbalance in the church's diet, so to speak, right? Think about it. You know, people who go on fasts, you know, for weight loss, people go on different diets for weight loss. And you have, you know, one diet person saying, okay, you should go on keto and eat, you know, as much, you know, fat and all of these type of things, you know, and grease and all the, you know, all of those things, right? And you're just like, what? Well, aren't I going to have high cholesterol? Shouldn't I be eating more of this or more of that, right? And then you have the other people who say, well, all I do is, you know, I'm on a meat diet, right? Where you just eat meat all the time, all right? Then there's the other people who say, I'm a vegan, I'm a vegetarian. You know, I stay away from everything that has anything to do with meat, even remotely to do with meat, right? But then each one of those camps are people who look at each other and go, wait a minute, you're not getting all the nutrients you need. You don't have a balanced diet. I know you're seeing some results, but those results, you know, of maybe weight loss or feeling a little bit better doesn't equate to you having a balanced diet, right? Some people say, well, I'm just not going to have dairy. I'm not going to have bread. I'm not going to have, you know, whatever. Okay. So if you understand that, and I know you do because this health stuff is all over the place, right? Everybody, there's a new trendy health thing going on at all times. Okay. And one camp is saying that the other camp is doing it wrong and you got to do it their way and buy their products and all of that kind of stuff. Well, that's kind of what happens a little bit in the church, right? We have all of these denominations, which I want to say here, the denominations are man-made. That is not a biblical thing. That's just something that we've come up with because people believe different things. And then we, you know, we kind of put our stake there and build churches around it and build theology around it and all of that kind of stuff. But it's not a biblical thing. That's not a thing in heaven, just so you know. But, you know, we kind of do that. We get in our own camps and we say, well, the Holy Spirit's the most important. Then you go to the other camp and they say, well, but the Word of God is more important. If you don't have the Word of God, then you don't understand the Spirit of God. And then you go to another camp and they say, well, worship's important. And, you know, you guys don't worship enough and you don't express yourself enough. And you don't, all of these things, right, that we say are important. And then we go into our own camps and we kind of lob pop shots at other people going, you know what, this is just not what you should be doing, right? And you tell them, well, come over here because we are the ones who have the truth, okay? There are churches that are big on social justice, and that's like the main driving point, right? The other churches are big on faith or signs and wonders and miracles and the supernatural, the end times, so many things, and so many different churches have these things that they feel like are extremely important. What you have to understand is all of it is important. All of it, right? The Bible's important. The Holy Spirit's important. Social justice is important. Faith is important. You know, realizing that God still does miracles today is important. Sometimes God does some supernatural things. That's important. The end times, right? The end times are important. But I would argue that the end times are not important in the way that we have made it in America today. I believe the end times are important in the sense that, you know, when Jesus left earth, he said, you know what? He said, I want you to go out and I want you to preach the gospel unto all nations. That's one of the last things he said before he left earth, right? So today we're more focused on, you know, timetables and prophecies and saying that it's going to be, you know, the four blood moons and the sun flipped over and all of the just the stuff that you hear. And, you know, we spend a lot of money on that kind of stuff, time and effort, when Jesus said, go and preach the gospel, right? And so we have all of these different things that we're really fired up about. But I really believe the church needs to come back into balance, and we need to listen, study, and grow in it all. In it all. So as we're talking about the spiritual gifts today, I want you to understand this is not the most important thing in the church. It's not the least important thing in the church. It's important that we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, right? Very, very important that we do that. Okay. All right. So what are the gifts of the Spirit? All right. You hear this phrase a lot, gifts of the Spirit. You read in your Bible, you know, that you hear your friends talk about it, or maybe your pastor says something about it. What are the gifts of the Spirit? So the gifts of the Spirit are simply unique abilities that are given by the Spirit to followers of Christ to benefit the church. Truly, that's what it is. It is to edify, to build up, and to strengthen the body of Christ. That's what it's for, okay? So you have to ask yourself, if these things are to edify, to build up, and strengthen the body of Christ, wouldn't those things, I mean, you know, we are the body of Christ, right? So, you know, it's not your church building. It's not the brick and mortar. It's not the smoke machines. It's not the lights. It is truly you and I, right? And so those gifts are given so that we can have a rich experience, one, in God's presence, but a rich experience with one another, right? We are in community, and we all have gifts that God has given us to use. And that is not something that we are talented with in and of ourselves. It's not something that we can learn. It's something that's a gift that's been given to us by God to edify the church. Okay. Now, a lot of people, when they look at the scripture, they say, well, you know, I see these spiritual gifts, but I don't think they're for today. Okay, so let's look at, I want to look at the very most common scripture that people look at and say that they're not for today, and help you to understand where they come up with that. Okay, so it's in Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10. Okay, it says, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, think about that one right there, okay? That little line right there. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Now, I know that there are people who take this verse, okay, and they say, Kev, don't you see it right there? It says right there in Corinthians, okay? Corinthians 13, it says, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they're going to be done away with. Tongues, done away with. They're going to cease. Knowledge, be done away with, right? And they're talking about words of knowledge or gift of knowledge, right? Because, you know, we don't want knowledge to be done away with, and we're in big trouble, right? But it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect has come, and that's where the hangup comes, right? So it's when the perfect has come. What does that word perfect there mean? That's, you know, and so if you were to talk to a Baptist or, and I'm not trying to pick on the Baptist here, don't get me wrong. You know, I've said on this show before, I tend to be a Baptist-costal. you know, and I just ran into somebody the other day and I said that and they said, oh, there's no such thing. And I said, well, you haven't lived in my shoes for the last, you know, few years. But, you know, I tend to understand both sides of this. But I think we have to look at this scripture and what is the Bible actually saying? So if you talk to some in some circles, they will say when the perfect has come, they say that word perfect there is the Bible. So if when the Bible was complete and the Bible was written, then we don't need all of the spiritual gifts in the church. Okay. Well, I disagree with that. And here's a couple of reasons why. Okay. Again, that's 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. I think I didn't say the first time. You're like, is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, Kevin? It's 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. So the part where it says, but when the perfect comes, I truly believe, and we see this in scripture, is that Christ is the perfect one. Jesus is the perfect one. Has Jesus come back yet? I just want to ask that question. Has Jesus returned to earth yet? Or did I miss it? Did I miss something? Did Jesus come to earth? No, Jesus has not returned yet, right? And so when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with, okay? I struggle with the perfect being the Bible, okay? There is just nowhere in scripture where the Bible is alluded to or talked to as if that is what's coming, right? Now, we know in the Old Testament, they didn't have what we have today as we know as the Bible today. They didn't have that, right? So at some point, the Bible was going to be compiled and all of that. But what you have to understand is the Bible is never in anywhere else in Scripture that I know of. And you can correct me on this if you find it, where it is alluded to as the perfect one or the perfect thing in the sense of this, what we're talking about today, right? But it does talk about Jesus, the perfect one, right? It does talk about Jesus in this way. And so I believe with all of my heart that when it talks about, but when the perfect comes or Jesus comes, the partial will be done away with. Now, there are some people who look at this and they just struggle with it. And they say, Kevin, I just don't see how these things are in operation today. These things were given to the apostles so that they could do signs, wonders, and miracles so that things, you know, that people would believe because, you know, Christ, you know, all the things, right? Here's the problem. The same guy who wrote to the Corinthian church and said that these things were going to fail and they were going to cease is the same person who also wrote that these are the gifts that have been given to the church. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. So we read 1 Corinthians 13. Now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12 and we're going to read here. We're going to start at verse 8. All right. And you're getting some really live situations here because I want to make sure sometimes when I write things and do things, when I'm studying, I tend to do things just looking to make sure. I want to make sure this is the right scripture. Yes, 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 yes. What a quinky dink, right? So if you look at, look at this. So we were just in Corinthians 13, 8, okay? Now we are in 1 Corinthians 12, 8. Isn't that crazy? And it's 8 through 10, just like the other one. But they both say, in a sense, you would think they say opposite things. And you have to ask yourself, is Paul contradicting himself? Is in one chapter, is he saying, well, you know, all this stuff will cease. You know, when the perfect comes, all this stuff will cease, right? And then he says, wait a minute, over in 1 Corinthians 12, 8, he says, to the one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same or by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. Okay, so we see that what Paul is saying here to the church at Corinth is he saying, listen, the Spirit of God who now resides in you gives gifts, right? He gives gifts. So when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, you get different gifts. Now, does everyone have the same gifts? No. Does everyone, you know, should we pray for and should we seek these gifts? Well, let's read further. Let's read in Ephesians 4, verse 7 through 13. I want to give you some really good groundwork here so you understand what the Bible actually says. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, right? So here's another scripture that hints to the offices, right? These are offices. So we got the spiritual gifts. We got the offices of apostle, pastor, evangelists, teachers, prophets, all those offices, right? And then in Romans 12, I know I'm kind of hitting you with the scriptures right now, but Romans 12, 3 through 8 says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us, as one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. And if it's serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. One more scripture, and then we'll talk about this a little bit, okay? 2 Peter 1 and 3, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness, all right? So Paul here is talking to the church at Corinth, okay? You know, he could have said, guys, you know what? These things are over, right? We that are the apostles, and, you know, we always call Paul sometimes the 13th apostle, but, you know, could have said, you know what, Peter and James and John and all of them that were with Jesus. Listen, guys, that was for them. That's not for you. That was for them. But he doesn't say that. He talks to them about the spiritual gifts. And then you're going to see later on, he literally starts talking about how those gifts should be used, right? And so I think it's really important for us to understand that when we look at scripture, the scripture is very plain that these gifts of the Spirit are from God. They are to any believer, a person who has accepted Christ as their Savior, has the Holy Spirit of God living in them. They have been given gifts to help each other, to edify each other, to build each other up, but not only to do that, but also to minister to those who don't know Christ, right? So, you know, for people who say that these things have ceased, I just don't see where this is biblical. I truly don't. You know, and again, this is not essential. So if you don't believe that or you feel like whatever, but I want you to keep an open mind as we go through this study, okay? So let's talk about, so, you know, we've established, the Bible talks very clearly about the gifts of the Spirit and how they edify, they build up, and that we can help each other by using these gifts, I want to start by going to all the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? All right, so let's talk about them. So one of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of wisdom. Okay? The gift of wisdom. And the gift of wisdom, I'm looking at my notes here. I think I, in my haste to, oh my goodness, to print this out before the show, I think I printed it out in some kind of weird way. But anyways, we're going to talk about these gifts here. So the gift of wisdom, the gift. Now, this is a gift that it helps you make choices and give leadership according to God's will. Okay, so when you talk about the gift of wisdom is something that sometimes, you know, you might be struggling to make a decision about something, and you might have a family member, you might have a brother or sister in Christ who, you know, just has this ability to speak wisdom into a situation, right? You might be in the boardroom at your job, or you might be on in a church leadership team, right? And, you know, there might be somebody on that team that just, they might be quiet the entire time. Everybody's talking and mulling over decisions. And then they just speak something into the room that no one really thought about. No one really, you know, they just didn't think about it, right? This person just has this ability to speak wisdom according to God's will. Tell me that is not crucial to your life. Tell me that that's not something that you want or need in your life. Like, who doesn't want wisdom? Now, the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give you liberally, right? So again, that does not mean that you can't go to God for yourself to get the wisdom that you need. What that is saying is there are certain people in the body of Christ that simply have a gift of wisdom, that a gift to speak into situations that will give tremendous guidance according to the will of God. All right. And then there are people who have the gift of knowledge, right? What is this gift all about? So this gift helps a person to comprehensively understand a spiritual issue or circumstance, right? So this is something specific that God gives a person where they can just understand spiritual issues. You might come to somebody, or you might be being prayed for at an altar, and somebody is praying for you, and all of a sudden they're reading your mail, right? You're like, I have never talked to this person about my problems. I literally just came up to the altar and said, hey, can you pray with me? And all of a sudden this person starts speaking specifically to your issue, right? In speaking and just in giving you exhortation. Okay. That happens. I've seen it. I've seen it. God has also worked through me from time to time to do those things. God, I'm sure, has worked through some of you in the audience from time to time in this. And you're probably going, yes, yes, it's awesome when God does that. And it is. And if you have never seen that before, it's really wild and it's awesome. It's really awesome. And there's just no way, guys, I'll tell you right now, you know, there is no way that a person would know the things that they know. They would have had to be in your home listening to your conversations for them to know some of the things that they know. So you know this is a gift from God and not from them. And then there's the gift of faith. I like this one. The gift, and I like them all, but I really like this one. And I think it's because I've seen this in operation. And, you know, basically what the gift of faith is, it's a gift to trust God. And also really, you know, to inspire other people to trust God, no matter what the conditions are, right? So, you know, you might be on the mission field and you find out that the witch doctor is near or is coming to your village, you know, because he's upset because you're a Christian and, you know, he wants to, you know, cast spells on you or whatever the case may be. Well, there's a lot of people that will run scared and go, yeah, I'm out of here. Okay. But then there's other people who are like, bring it on. Tell him that, you know what? I'll be here till 6 o'clock tonight. Tell him he's got all day, right? I'm ready to meet him, right? They have this gift of faith and they have this trust in God that no matter what they're faced with, that God is going to come through and they're going to conquer this thing, right? Isn't that awesome? Like, who doesn't want that? Why would we say that something like that shouldn't be present today? It just doesn't make sense. In a Christian's life, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, but you can't have the gift of faith? Yeah. Also, this one's another cool one, the gift of healing. All right. This is a gift that really is used to, and it's through God. I want to be very careful here, but you have to understand this. This person that has this gift of healing is not the healer. Okay. Now, there might be some people out there who would like you to think that, you know, the only way you're going to get healed is give to my ministry, or the only way you're going to get healed and to set free and delivered is you take this course from me that costs $1,500, or you, whatever the case may be. There are people who act as though that they own the gift. You don't own the gift. The gift is from God. Right? You know, the Bible says gifts and callings are without repentance, but you know, when it comes to the spiritual gifts, right? This is because the Holy Spirit of God lives in you and God has given you these gifts. But this is a person who, through the power of God, that's very important to remember, through the power of God, can lay hands on a person and cure a person of a sickness, or maybe a person suffering, or they're wounded, or something like that, some type of physical ailment. This person or people are able to go lay hands on a person or pray over the phone or pray over Zoom or pray in a service or whatever the case may be. And God heals people. I have been miraculously healed before, literally in an instant. I will never, ever, ever, ever forget it. You know, I was praying with some evangelists and I remember I just said, you know what, I'm actually going to pray because, you know, I am not a person who's like, God, you got to do a magic trick for me to believe in you. God, you've got to do all these signs and wonders. And I, man, let me tell you something. My life has been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, like the person that I was and the person that I am today are totally two different people. And yes, I'm flawed and I fail and I sin and I do all the things, but I've been changed and I know I've been changed. There's no way I would have been sitting here like me sitting here doing a podcast, talking to people in different states and in different countries. I just wouldn't have done that before, right? That wasn't my desire. That's not what I was pursuing in life. But God took a hold of my life and he changed my life. That in and of itself is a miracle, right? Right? That in and of itself is a miracle. What you have to understand, and I want to say something here because I think this is important. I want to kind of take a left turn here real quick. And I won't camp on this, but you know, there are times that people have asked me, they said, you know, Kev, like, I just don't understand. Like, you know, there's these ministries out there that are like, you just know that they're frauds, right? You just know because of what they're teaching is heretical, you know, or what they're doing. They're, you know, they're in a sense pimping God's people by asking them for donate. You know, you give me $1,000 and God's going to give you $100,000 in return, but you've got to do it in the next 10 minutes. God told, like, that's trash. Okay. Complete trash. Turn the TV off. Look, you might say, Kev, man, you are really strong on that. I will never be stronger on anything. That, my friends, is fleecing the flock. Those people are charlatans. They are not spokesmen for God. Now, I've had people who say, hey, there's those people, those really weird, flaky, wacky people who, you know, they have these big healing crusades and they do all it. Listen, not everybody has a healing crusade is wrong. So I want to be very, very careful. And that's why I'm not naming names right now. That's why I'm not going into any of that stuff, because I think it's very important, you know, and I'm always checked by the Holy Spirit. I feel like when I get to points like this, because you know, to take a broad brush and to say everyone is wrong and everyone on TV is wrong and every person who has a ministry of healing or something like that is wrong, that is not right. And I will not claim to know anybody's heart. I just don't, right? So we have to be careful. But what I can do is do a fruit check. What I can do is do a theology check. What I can do is do a biblical check to see if these people's ministry is really what they're supposed to be, right? You know, because people could say, oh, well, they can say anything. God told them anything. God showed them anything. I mean, people could say that all day. And there are people out there who truly are just fleecing the flock, all right? But when you see healing, and back to my original point, is I was saying, you know, sometimes people come up to me and they go, well, Kev, you know, I know that this particular ministry is a fraud. I know that they're not doing what they're supposed to do, but I still see people being healed and delivered and set free. Here's what you have to understand about God. God will never let anyone suffer because of the sin or the issues of the person who is leading that particular conference or meeting or whatever the case may be. If you come to God in faith, you come to God asking God for something. Now, does he always do it? No. You know, but if you listen to a lot of these guys on TV and these conferences and all the kinds of, they'll tell you, man, as long as you have enough faith, oh, God will do anything, right? They have faith in faith and not faith in God. The problem is, once you take your faith out of faith and put it in God, well, then now you're subject to the sovereignty of God. And sometimes the sovereignty of God says, yeah, I'm not healing you right now, or I'm not healing you this side of heaven. And you know what? That's a very hard pill to swallow. And I'm not trying to make light of that by any stretch of the imagination, but it's true. It's true, right? So remember, God is going to, if God wants to heal somebody, he's going to heal them in spite of the person who, so that person that's laying hands on them in the meeting, and you're like, well, that person's a fraud. So I don't understand how God healed that person through that person's ministry. Well, you have to understand, God heals that person because of his relationship and their relationship with him, not the person's ministry. Again, you have to go back and realize that God heals by his power, not ours, right? We're just a point of contact for God. That's all. So don't get it twisted. So when you see these things happening, you say, well, I was watching TV the other day, and I know this guy or gal is not, you know, they have heretical teaching from the top to the bottom, but I see people getting healed. Well, I'll tell you, some of those ministries, they plant people. I hate to say this, but these are proven things. Do your research. These are proven things that have happened over time. And then there's other people who are doing these things. It is legit. These people they're biblically sound. God has just given them the gift of healing, and they can do these things. And that's awesome, right? But remember, whether it's correct theology or not, it's God who heals, not the person. All right. There's the gift of miracles. Well, that one's kind of cool, huh? The gift to display signs and miracles that give credibility to the word of God. Man, that's awesome, right? You know, you hear this a lot in third world countries where people have never heard of Jesus before, right? And a missionary will go and people will get miraculously healed, or miraculously a leg will grow, or miraculously a whatever will happen, right? Somebody might be raised from the dead. Yes, I actually believe those things can happen. Now, do I think that they're normative or happen all the time? No. Okay. And this is what separates me and others like me from a lot of the hyper faith, prosperity, gospel, name it and claim it, you know, scream it and get it kind of people, right? Decree it, declare it, all that, you know, that's what separates us. Because, you know, they would say that if you speak it, it'll happen. Just speak to the dead person, you know, just speak it, you know. Oh my goodness, guys. Come on, guys, come on, read your Bibles, right? Does God do that? Can he do that? Yes, right? But if that happened all the time, the hospitals would be empty. You know, millions of people would not have died or were sick from COVID, right? I mean, you've got to, you know, it becomes almost illogical at some point, right? It almost becomes this thing where it's like, do you not see the evidence of how God works? Yes, he heals. I've been healed myself. I've seen people be healed of cancer and all kinds of things, right? I know that people are set free and delivered from things, but there are other times that God chooses for whatever reason to not heal, but it's because of his sovereignty. Sovereignty of God is he can do what he wants, when he wants, for whatever reason he wants at any time. He's God. Gift of miracles. Gift of miracles. Here's what I want to do, because I think that there are other things that I want to say specifically on that, but we're going to get into a lot of other stuff the next time that we're together. So we've got the gift of prophecy, right? We've got the gift of discerning spirits, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpreting tongues, the gift of administration, the gift of helps. I mean, we've got all of these different gifts that we are going to talk about. And we'll talk about some of the controversy around them, but we'll also talk about how they're used and how they should be used in the church, and then bring this all together of how this causes us to have a very balanced and healthy church, right? You know, all of these things, these are not things for people to boast, right? And I know you see some weird things out there, guys. You know, there are two things that I've studied more than anything in my ministry career. And one of them is the fivefold ministry gifts, right? So the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, you know, all that. And then the other is the prosperity gospel, right? And I will tell you that, you know, this has been abused. You know, you see on publications sometimes, you hear on the radio, chief apostle, right? Chief, you know, prophetess so-and-so, prophet so-and-so. You know, and it's, and do I think that these gifts and these offices should be operated in the church? 100% I do. But what it's turned into is a position thing. It's turned into, well, this is our chief apostle. Listen, you don't need to be called chief apostle to do apostolic things. You don't need to be called prophet so-and-so for you to prophesy. You don't need to be called prophetess so-and-so for you to do prophetic things. Right? But it turns into this hierarchy of just, oh, guys, you just, it's sickening to me. It's sickening because all of these gifts are gifts from God, not to be used, not to be abused, not to try to run people's lives, right? Just because you're a prophet and you have that gift does not mean that you get to belittle people and be, and I'll tell you right now, if you are not operating in the fruit of the Spirit, you can't be operating in the gifts of the Spirit. If you're not operating in the fruit of the Spirit, you are not going to operate properly in the gifts of the Spirit. The fruits are more important than the gifts. But in a lot of times, I feel like we put the gifts of the Spirit, you know, in front of the fruit of the Spirit, right? If you don't love people, but yet you want to prophesy to people, you've got things out of whack, right? If you're not long-suffering with people, but yet you want to go around and you want to be the greatest evangelist ever, or you want to be, you know, a person who goes around and uses the gift of healing, whatever the case may be. No, that's not how it works, right? Love God's people. Truly, deeply, purely love them. Look out for them. Don't hold grudges. Forgive people. Don't feel like because you have a gift that somehow you are better than everyone else, right? Because we all have gifts. Now, some of them are more prominent in the sense of that they're more visible than others, right? If somebody has a gift of helps, you might not never see that because those people are working behind the scenes. But if somebody has a gift of prophecy, you might hear them prophesy in the middle of a church service. And we're going to talk about that too. The order and how that should happen in the church service on our next episode. It's going to be a fascinating episode. You don't want to miss it. But we're going to talk about that because it's very important that we understand how to do all things decently and in order. God is not the author of confusion. The Bible says that. He is the author of peace. Right? He's a God of unity, right? That's who he is. So if you are operating in these gifts, it is vitally important that you are operating in the fruits of the Spirit. And I encourage you, if you've got somebody who is, you know, in a denomination that maybe they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, or they don't believe it's for today, or they, whatever the case may be, I encourage you to share this episode, these next couple of episodes with them. Right? Because let's go on a journey together and really discover what the Bible actually says about the spiritual gifts. because they are vitally important to your life. Well, until next time, I want you guys to text us. Let me know your feedback. Let me know what you're thinking. You can text us at 248-301-2010. If you got questions, maybe you felt like I should cover something a little bit deeper. Maybe I went too fast in an area. Maybe there is something that you want me to explain better. You have more questions. Don't hesitate to text us. Because now this one will be time sensitive. If you're listening to this, now, that doesn't mean that you can't text us 5 months from now about this episode. You certainly can. But if you text us, if you listen to this on Wednesday, okay? If you listen to this on Wednesday and you get back to us in time enough, I may be able to address it on the next show, okay? So Wednesday the 28th is when this show should air. If everything goes well and everything's on time with the production company, it should air on the 28th, okay? Now, if you are listening to it then and you've got some questions between there and our next show, which will be on the 12th of October, let us know. Text us, right? Now, if you're listening to this show in 2025 and, you know, you're like, Kevin, the 28th is not on a Wednesday, probably not at that point. But you can still message us at 248-301-2010. And we will reach out to you to answer any of those questions for you. Okay. Also, thinkingoutloudmedia.com, thinkingoutloudmedia.com. If you want to donate to the show, you can scroll all the way down to the donate button there on the homepage. Any amount is good. You don't have to be, it doesn't have to be large, and certainly doesn't have to be small. But whatever you want to do, we encourage that because there are listeners just like you that are donating every month so this show can be on the air. Don't forget to rate and review us. Give us 5 stars. We love you guys so, so very much. Thank you for going on this journey with me as we journey through the Word of God. God bless you. I love you. We'll see you next time.